Today's show is brought to you by the Star City Murders.
Yes, the new film of mine, The Star City Murders, is out everywhere now. You can get it on Amazon Prime Video, Apple TV, Vudu, many platforms, satellite cable for rent or purchase. It's great. We also have a DVD and Blu-ray release. So if you're into serial killer, thriller, detective stories, this is the movie for you. Check it out today, baby.
All right, welcome back, Podcast Winterfell. Check us out, dvrpodcast.com. We're here to talk about House of the Dragon, Season 2, Episode 3, The Burning Mill. My name is Axel. Of course, I'm here with Gina. We have a wonderful guest, Amy, who we're going to introduce in just a moment. But I do want to remind you again, head over to dvrpodcast.com. You can become a patron at patreon.com/DVR. We are independent podcasters. And I want to thank Trisha, Sherry, Kevin, Sandy, Space Wrangler, and also, guess what? Amy. We're Patreon, we're patrons of each other's podcasts. So
yes, we are.
There she is. Let's introduce her. Amy Archer, you're here from Little Miss Recap, which I have been on a couple shows talking about McBee Dynasty with you. But please tell us all who you are, how we can find you, and your history of the dragon.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. I consider myself a novice in this world, as I'm only a show watcher, but I'm an avid show watcher. So, and I'm an English major, so I feel like I'm qualified to talk about some of this stuff. I am, as Axel said, at Little Miss Recap, where we mostly talk about trash, like MILF Manor, Sister Wives, Seeking Sister Wife. But this season, we've jumped into House of the Dragon. And as I say on my own show, please listen to this show if you'd like actual facts and deep insight, because you're not getting it over on my podcast.
Oh, but you are very funny, though.
Thank you.
Your co-host has knowledge of.
She does. She does. Yeah. She's read the book.
Yeah. So. That's good.
Okay. But I'm just like, you know, I'm good with the nicknames. Like I've called Kristen Cole. Now he is the hand fuck boy. That's what he is. Either fuck boy hand or hand fuck boy. Yeah. I can't decide which one I like better. But
now he's got a whole necklace of hands, right? He's he just takes one off, throws one at Allison, and she goes, take that. I got to go fight.
There you go.
That other voice you hear, of course, is Gina. Amy, welcome to the show. Gina, how are you doing?
Doing okay. Excited about this season. It's really, you know, maybe it's because we don't have all the time jumps, but I like it so much better than last season.
Yes.
Yeah, it seems to be flowing pretty well.
And this season, again, feels, and this is not, I don't know if it's a compliment, but maybe it's just a world building compliment. This season feels more like Game of Thrones in the sense that I feel like we're seeing Westeros, we're seeing other stories. Last season, though I thought it was amazing and the best show that year, it was a lot of 10 people in a room, conversation to conversation. So I kind of like that feeling. The episodes feel a little bit, maybe a little less dense, but a little quicker. And I'm liking all the different characters that we're getting to meet.
I agree. I think it's a great season. I love it.
Yeah. Oh man. Mm-hmm. And, from what I understand, and this is, I know we're talking about this episode, but our friends at History of Westeros have put out, they've seen the episode for next week and they were like, get ready. Because it's going down. So,
well, the episode for next week is called Dance of the Dragons. So, I think.
You mean there's not a happy ending here? Wait a minute. Allison, they didn't solve this?
No, solve it. Their hasty conversation did not solve it. But I guess let's start at the beginning. We start out with, now, Gina, I know from the reading that I have done that this is a famous thing, the Brackens versus the Blackwood. So for book readers and people more familiar with this world, seeing these two people was kind of exciting. And I kind of remember it too. And when it kind of started out with these different people, for a second, I was kind of like, oh, are they introducing, is this someone that I should know, whatever? But then it kind of became apparent to me. But what did you think of this intro with these boys fucking around?
So for a minute, I'm like, aren't these guys like, don't these two families fight about like, what a mountain, you know, there's supposedly this famous mountain range that looked like a very voluptuous woman. And I, for some reason, I thought that that's what they were fighting over, who those mountains were named after. But it turns out that these two families have been fighting and feuding even before the Andals crossed the narrow sea into Westeros. So that's why I think, you know, someone, it might have been Rhaenys, said they don't even remember what they're fighting about. And soon no one will remember what, you know, people won't remember what we're fighting about or how this even began either. And how did it begin? So I just thought it was, you know, kind of really funny that we don't even know why these families hate each other so much. And some say they've always had, get this, differences in religion. So perhaps one worships the old gods and the other worship the seven, you know, when that came to be. But yep, they don't even remember. But I did think, wouldn't it be awesome if someone put on a version of West Side Story that was set in Westeros, and instead of the Sharks versus the Jets, it was the Brackens versus the Blackwoods. With sorry, I mean, I think that would be pretty awesome.
That would be pretty good.
That would be.
I thought it was really interesting, just from a writing perspective, that they show, like they chose to show us these families through young people. I thought that hit, that made the point hit home a little harder, that these are the fights of old men, and even the young kids are taking sides and stumbling through it, right? Even though they don't really maybe know or have a vested interest, it has trickled down to these two young boys. And then I have to say, when they had the close up of the kid's face, so it became obvious that he was murdered, and then they start to zoom out, I'm like, oh, he killed him. Oh, wait, he killed all of the... I thought that the one dude just went on a murder spree and killed everybody. And I was like, was Uhtred here?
Oh, my God. Like, it this was is really like the crazy. Boys or something. Yeah.
Yes. And I also kind of wondered, was the one we saw, I think it was at the Bracken side, I think the Blackwoods were the ones with the darker hair. But
yes,
is the Bracken we saw, is that the 10 years later version of the young Bracken who killed the Blackwood when they were all lined up for Rhaenyra's hand?
Oh, for her hand. Yeah, that's and right.
Like 10 or 11, he was just like,
he's like, I'm still holding that torch for the queen. Still that's holding out. I don't know. That's a good point. Good question.
They would do something like that. We're going to talk later about the eggs and how important they are.
Yeah.
Just something that I know, this show, it's so wonderful to notice all the time, like when they do the larger shots of King's Landing or they show the roads and you can see they're like not as developed as they are in Game of Thrones, and things of some things are worse, some things are actually better. You know, I think it's really interesting. But to start this off with people, like you said, Amy, it has gone down to the kids, but it's also a mirror of what we've seen with this show, where the older people who maybe have their disagreements, but know that if they go too far, everyone's going to fucking die, kept it together. Yeah. And then we have now these young folks coming up and fucking everything up, which is actually kind of the reverse of Game of Thrones, where the young people were kind of trying to solve the issues. It was more of like real life, like the millennials versus the boomers or whatever, like, you ruined my planet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But to not show the battle, to me, was genius. I loved it.
I agree, because it was like, it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter what the battle was. All that matters is the result.
Yep. When you're a Bracken, you're a Bracken all the way, from your first mead to your last dying day.
Speaking of not seeing the battle, and another trend that I think we've seen maybe more with this whole series, and even this season so far. Like, it's great to not show the battles because I think the real craziness is to come with the dragons battling. And I think that's where the focus is going to be. But I also think that they have been very thoughtful in not overdoing it with the blood and violence in this series, not overdoing it with the blatant female nudity and rapes. You know, they're much more graphic in Game of Thrones than any insinuation has been here. And honestly, like, I feel like the first full frontal nudity outside of a brothel that we're seeing was Aemond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was a guy.
Yeah.
So I think, and I know they have a lot more female directors involved with this series. And I also think this is a very female focused show. If you look at who the people are that are really trying to avoid war, I wouldn't say it's the adults in the room. I would say it's the women in the room.
I would agree.
And I have a question about that. Just to kind of jump in. I've been listening to some pods and upon rewatching, I'm still not sure. Was Rhaenys, when she was talking to Rhaenyra and the things that went down at their small council, am I to actually trust her word? I'm not sure that I trust that she is not planting the seed to, as she said earlier in a conversation with her husband, not the one this episode, I think it was actually two episodes ago when they kind of switched sides where, or maybe it was even, I can't remember. There's a lot of scenes with them just hanging out, like loving on each other, because they are the couple that loves each other the most. But I still, I don't know if I trust her. Do you trust what she's saying, Gina? Do you really think that she doesn't want this word? Do you think that she's still kind of angling?
I think she's still kind of angling.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's always a possibility. If she wasn't always angling, she would have incinerated the Greens when she had the chance and just let Rhaenyra take the throne. But she's angling. She wants to see how it plays out. I think she knows that they will likely destroy each other and that potentially when it's all over, she will have a claim on the throne. That's like, I don't feel like that was, and I haven't really been able to reread this book because it has issues on my Kindle for some reason, but I don't recall her being that, you know, kind of strategic in the books or wanting that in the books, but I do feel that in the show. And I've felt that since she did not burn the Greens to the ground. Honestly, we wouldn't have a story after that. But at the same time, she could have solved a lot of problems.
So the sticking point for me with her is she does still think Rhaenyra killed her son, correct?
I think the last we heard on it was that she was like, if she didn't do it, she's somehow responsible.
I just don't know how you get over that and take someone's side. But as I always say, I could easily be led into a cult and I would totally believe her motives were pure and I would follow her. So I'd be screwed.
Yeah. I mean, and I think, I don't know if I'd say she really thinks Rhaenyra's responsible for her son's death through Daemon for sure. And I think she kind of blames Daemon for her daughter's death as well.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I think she probably has more of a beef with Daemon and Rhaenyra's just kind of like collateral.
Right. So like, I don't know why she would want to put them on the throne because you're putting him on the throne too. I don't know.
They say keep your friends close and your enemies
that's
close.
True. Yeah. That's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thinks of them as her potential greater enemies.
You got to be in it to win it. Maybe. You got to be part of what's happening, right? But I don't know. I still don't, because even when they're having the Queen's Council, I feel like when the men try to tell Rhaenyra, oh, just go away, just like we'll take care of it, you know. Oh, yeah. And it's because we're worried about you, even though you're a fucking ferocious dragon rider, right?
Right.
Which they know. Just go away. We'll protect everything. I felt that the looks that they were giving were more like Rhaenys was in on it. That's how I felt. I felt like she was looking at them and saying, you're pushing this too soon. Like, chill out. I'm still trying to get on her good side. And the conversation she has when she's like, Alicent is the key, you know, if you, to prevent this war, you guys, which seemed kind of like you're saying, like, let's bring everything together. I felt that they were setting up a shadow council behind Rhaenyra's back that was making these decisions, and she was taking advantage of it. And when she was saying to her, like you had in the notes, like, oh, I think it's Rhaenyra who says it, the men are making all these decisions, right, without us and pushing shit behind our back. It was Rhaenys who said it. I feel that she said that on purpose to try to chum up to her, when in reality, it's her.
So are we basically saying that Rhaenys is the Larys Strong of the Queen's Council?
I don't know if she likes that feat that much.
Well, sure, but you know, they're both like maybe the shit stirrers.
Yes,
who are,
I agree with. Yes, I do. Yeah. I think that's regardless. And again, I don't remember in the text as well, and we try not to do text spoilers here, but
yeah,
I feel that is what the show is communicating to me. And having watched it twice, I said to myself, the first time I was like, maybe this is just something I've got in my head. Because maybe secretly I still think she should have been queen to begin with. But and she has a valid point, but I kind of feel that way. And it go and in the conversations with her husband, it does seem like she is now pushing. Originally the story was that he kind of pushed her to challenge, right? And now I feel that she wants the crown, and she is still trying to stay in it long enough to manipulate things. In the end, she may pick a side, but I still kind of feel that. And I'm down with it, because I think that they would make a beautiful king and queen. They'd be great. I like them. What else we got? What do you want to talk? Is there anything that comes to your mind, Amy or Gina?
Should we talk about... Okay. Why don't we talk about first? Like, I think we definitely need to talk about Daemon and Harrenhal for sure. But should we talk about Rhaena, Daemon's youngest girl, and what's being asked of her?
Oh, God. Yeah. The babysitting job from hell. I'm going to send you off with all the kids and all the baby dragons. She's like, no, I'd rather be a dragon rider and die.
Yeah, but no dragon has let her ride him, so she's shit out of luck. And she's very bitter about it, and I feel has been. Like, even when we saw her in the, like, 10 years ago timeline as a child, she's like, Daddy doesn't like me because my dragon hasn't hatched.
Well, while I was watching the show, I was saying to my wife, we got to remember that those are Daemon's daughters. Like, they have Daemon in them. So he's not exactly the most intelligent, stable genius. He's fucking
nuts. How dare you? I love him.
He might be sexy, but he's kind of vicious, i.e. his first wife.
It's a stark contrast to Alicent's way of mothering. You know, we were talking about this last week, and I think you guys mentioned it, like the differences in the way these mothers comfort their children, care for their children, and seeing Rhaenyra make the ultimate sacrifice and send her kids away is very different than Alicent keeping her kids under her, in her home, as close to her as possible, but yet still at arm's length. So, like, it's just an interesting dichotomy in mothering, I think.
It is. What is she now? She's Raina's aunt, stepmom.
She would be, yeah.
Right? Isn't she something else too? Wait, I'm trying to think of all the incestuous ways they're involved.
Aunt, stepmom. I think she's actually her niece too.
No, wait. Rhaenyra is Raina's niece.
Yes. Yeah. But she is also her aunt.
Her aunt, right? Vera so her aunt. Her aunt.
She's in superposition. She's in superposition.
And then they're probably also distant cousins.
Yeah, that's so weird. Wait, I had never considered that. That her
Jesus.
She is her aunt's. Wait. She's too much.
She's her aunt by marriage.
Yeah.
And her niece by blood. And somehow also distant cousins.
Okay, very well.
And now also her stepmother.
Yeah, stepmom. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
God, that's a lot.
Now, of course, the talk of the town is that these are Dany's eggs.
Yeah.
That at least three of them.
Three of them are, I'm pretty sure. I stilled on them. She mentioned that they're going to the Eyrie, but also Pentos, and that is where Pentos is where they were acquired for Dany.
Yes. And that is not book canon, because it's something different happened in the books, but for the show, these it's been confirmed by the director of last week's episode that these are Dany's eggs. And what she says, I believe what she says is, so the two kids, Viserys and he's Aegon too, the little kid, right?
Mm-hmm. No,
Viserys and Aegon, Rhaena and Joffrey. So four kids, right? Three of her kids, two of her kids with Daemon, one of her kids Strong, and her stepdaughter from Daemon. Daemon's other kid. So it's his half. Okay, this is getting confusing. They're all going, plus the eggs, they're going to the Vale.
And two small dragons.
That was of interest too. So actually, six dragons and four kids.
Yes.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's a car ride you don't want to be in.
And she's sending them to, I forget the woman's first name, Aaron, who I guess is John Aaron's grandmother.
I think it's mother. Jane Aaron. Jane Aaron.
Yep.
Maybe.
At the Vale. But she said, when you get there, try to communicate to the guy in Pentos, because that's where I eventually want you to go. I think that was the instructions that she gave.
I think one of the kids and potentially one or two of the dragons is going to stay at the Eyrie. Like if I can't remember which kid was going.
I think it's Joffrey. I think the oldest kid, I think he'll be their ward. And the other take the little babies with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, perhaps I have missed it. Gina, perhaps you could fill us in. Has it been well established that the Vale and the Aarons are that trustworthy to take fucking half your family and dragons in a war?
Well, the literal future is marching up there.
So I think yes, because the Aarons, it's Rhaenyra's aunt who was sisters with Rhaenyra's mother. Rhaenyra's mother was an Aaron. I think that's her one of her close relatives. I think if any of those kids are in danger in the Eyrie, it's the three of Daemon's kids, since I think there's a lot of speculation around him offing the other Aaron that he was married to.
Right.
Oh, so his first wife was an Aaron?
Was she an Aaron or was she a, hold on.
They were in the Vale, right?
Hold on. Was she an Aaron or was she? No, she was a Royce.
Okay.
Rhea Royce. Okay. But of the Erie. So yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
So it's close to home.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. So there could be a seed of distrust there that develops, with Rhaenyra, but because of, again, motherfucking Daemon.
Right, because of the Royces, and the Royces have always been like the right-hand house of the Aarons. If you remember, that was the case in Game of Thrones, even, where it was Royce that, you know, looked after, in addition to Littlefinger, Royce looked after Robin Aaron, and then, you know, kind of hooked up with Sansa's team later on because he'd always like been loyal to the Erie.
I you know what? Game of Thrones gave us Robin Aaron, who breastfed until he was 15. We need something like that.
Show,
you know?
Yeah.
That was wonderful. Yeah. I was just reminded of that this week.
Forgot about that.
He grew up.
Well, I'll still never forgive this show for not giving us Mushroom.
Mushroom! In the book, Fire and Blood, Amy, Mushroom, it's told like a, you've talked about in your pot, like it's told like a history. And Mushroom has, always has good opinions and ideas about what happened. And they usually involve fucking and crazy shit.
Well, and more importantly, he is a little person.
Yeah.
And so there are always kind of, it didn't really insinuate it. Well, there in book canon, there's always kind of this thought that maybe Tyrion actually has Targaryen blood and Mushroom was definitely fucking a lot of people. And perhaps somehow there is a relation between Mushroom and Tyrion down the way.
Okay.
I mean, that's kind of how I.
Well, wasn't that because in the book it says that the Mad King took Tyrion's mom on their wedding night or something? Like,
yes.
He took first rights or whatever it's called.
He did take first rights, and then supposedly he took rights whenever he wanted throughout the time. And that's also why I thought Mushroom might have come into play like maybe some of his offspring were Targaryens as well. Like, and there's a whole bunch of different. Yeah.
Damn, George, get to writing, George. We need more of this.
Never gonna happen.
I know. Sad. But I like that. That's an interesting idea. And it would be, I don't know. I feel like somehow Mushroom has to come up in some show at some point because he's funny. And this episode, it was mentioned, I can't remember what pod I was listening to. The director, Geeta Vasant Patel, is also going to direct the finale of this season. She has directed some stuff, some comedy, Superstore, Santa Clarita Diet, Dead to Me. She's done some funny stuff, though she's done a bunch of stuff like P-Valley, Under the Bridge.
Interesting.
But she also did two episodes of The Great, which is kind of like a satire. So I did think that this episode they had a good amount of humor. This may have been one of the funnier episodes of House of the Dragon.
I agree. I thought it was very witty and funny in places. Yeah.
That was the good line that Aegon has when he says the throne. He says, yes, the big iron chair with swords on it, or what does he say? Remember that?
Oh, Daemon. Yeah.
It's Daemon that chair says
made
it.
Out of swords. Yeah.
But you wanted to talk about, did we still want to continue? Did you have any other thoughts about everyone being sent out like this, Gina?
Well, just in terms of Rhaena, I think because there were so many dragon eggs, and like, I think she finally realized this isn't just a babysitting job. I'm kind of like the head bitch in charge of these people. And it's a quite a important protective role because she really is protecting the future of the realm. So hopefully that gives her a little more sense of agency. And I also think the little actress that plays her is just so cute. Like, she's just adorable and a little bit goofy. And I've just always thought she has a super cute little face.
Both of the sisters are. That I mean, this show is always great casting.
Right. Well, yeah, very.
Yeah, so I hope that we'll follow them. The show is going in that direction where we see what happens with different people. But then again, we might just pick up on them in like in the finale and get a check-in, you know? You really don't know. But you had mentioned Damon earlier going to Harrenhal.
Yes.
We get a little this reminded me of the last season when we had the kind of when all the guys went, I don't remember where they were. They were near the wall, I think. And they kind of had a little bit of a horror scenes. Remember that when they were looking around and they found the White Walkers made that hung the guy on the wall. And remember that from the final season of Game of Thrones?
That was, I think, the Umbers.
Okay. Yes. Very far north. It reminded me of that, doing a little horror. I thought that this was awesome. I loved him walking around.
It was great.
Jumping out.
Really good. And, you know, we spent a fair deal of time at Harrenhal, and I want to say it was maybe season two of Game of Thrones when Arya and Gendry were imprisoned there. And I was just like, damn, what season is this? Like, and I'm thinking maybe it's spring. We know it's not summer, I think they said, because he's like, we can barely keep the hearths lit in the summer. But maybe it's like spring and spring rains. And it was just like so dreary and dilapidated. Like, clearly it had a big facelift in, you know, the 100 years or so after this point, by the time we get to Game of Thrones. But I just thought it was fascinating to see a castle in such a different state from when last we saw it, kind of thing.
Yeah. I love how he walks in and my co-host said it and she nailed it. She's like, it was very Monty Python-ish. Like, he just walks in, he's like, I declare Harrenhal. And Simon's like, okay, yeah, guess you do. Apparently so. And I thought that was great. And that's where we see that little bit of humor, I think. Yeah. But it was a good scene. I totally get Damon not trusting it, not wanting to eat the food. Like, because, you know, again, he would do that to somebody. So he's projecting, of course. But I love it. It's just spooky. It's creepy. It's a scary place to be.
And kind of funny with Sir Simon, as you mentioned. I kind of was like, this is reminds me of something. Come and knock on our door. We've been waiting for you. He's like, yeah, dude, I bend the knee. I hate my nephew, and I'm glad you're here.
And I like how he's pretty much like, this place is moist. I don't know how a fire started here ever. So, yeah, we have the moist castle.
It was fantastic. I loved the whole thing. And, yeah, I remember that's when who was it when Gendry almost got the hat of rats put on his head? Remember that? Or that thing with the rats in it? They were putting it on people's heads and he got pulled out at the last minute. I think that's where they were too. When Tywin showed up there in Game of Thrones. And that's what I mean too. It's so broken. All the how about the part when he's trying to like fix the leaks in the bedroom, and he's like, and then he's got the two swords keeping the door shut. He's like, I'm fucking spooked, you know?
Yep.
It was very fun. And you had in the notes, I did hear that, Gina, like a whisper of Damon.
I heard it too. Yeah.
And actually, upon the second watch, I was also thinking that actually sounds like young Rhaenyra, who then he sees later.
We should talk about that because he wakes up near a weirwood tree, and we all know the weirwoods, very special, magical. This is not something that we should ignore. this vision that he has. And we should also not ignore Alice Rivers, who says, you're going to fucking die here, motherfucker. And then he's like, oh, shit. He's like, he doesn't even hear that because he's just like, ooh, who's this lady talking to me? Right? Like,
well, the minute I saw her, I'm like, we're in trouble here. He's going to be so distracted by this Stevie Nicks wannabe. He's not even going to pay attention to the mission.
Yeah, they gave her a nice close up when he first busted in. Right?
Yeah. Everyone? Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, and then I was kind of like, does anyone else see her or does only he see her? Like, I couldn't tell if she was real or not.
She is. She's just a servant. I think they describe her as a wet nurse and servant in this cast. I don't know who she's wet nursing, but interesting.
And if I remember correctly, we will see more of her.
Oh, yes. Yeah. She definitely is someone that has a lot of visions also. And you know who I thought she looked like a bit? She reminded me of the red priestess that came to speak to Tyrion and Viserys, who we know the red priestesses also have visions and like a special sight. I was even thinking for a minute, is that the same actress? But it wasn't.
We also know that they can live for a long time and hide who they are and,
yeah, the priestesses can for sure.
So I thought that this was cool because there are a lot of dragons in this show, which are magical, by the way, not real life. I know sometimes people get it confused. Game of Thrones, House of Dragon, not real life. Westeros, which you had asked me, Amy, not Earth. It is Planetos, a different planet.
Sometimes it's the basic geology that gets me sometimes. Geography.
Yeah. Well, see, I always thought that Westeros was the East Coast of the United States. That's how, because George is from Jersey. So I thought like Dorne is like Florida. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like
Maine
is up there. Yeah. So that's how I always saw it. And then you go across the narrow sea and you have Europe. So that's kind of how I always looked at it because he's from Jersey and I'm from Jersey and it's the best state in the union. And that's just the way it goes.
That's subjective.
You're in Pennsylvania, right?
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Pennsylvania is a weird state. That's like 8 different states in one state. That's,
it's a real strange place. Yeah.
It's very strange. Our good friend, Aaron Otto is from Pittsburgh and I'm sure Pittsburgh is vastly different from where you are.
Yeah, a little bit. Different. Philly is different than, see, I'm in Scranton, so I'm in the northeast corner. Pittsburgh is more similar to Scranton than I would say Philly is.
Oh, okay.
Philly is pretty different. Yeah.
I get that. My brother went to Kutztown.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we said that. So, Kutztown
University. Cows. Yeah.
Yep. That was fun out there. Not a lot to do at Kutztown. Probably a lot of drugs being done.
Just binge drinking and hanging out, throwing out.
All right. Well, that was our tour of Pennsylvania and all that.
And Harrenhal, huh?
And Harrenhal. And Harrenhal as well. But we will keep track of Alice Rivers. And like I said, dragons aren't real, but the thing I do miss, kind of, I like the visions. I like the magic. So this part of the episode was exciting to me because, as you said, Gina, she looks like one of the Red Priestesses. I want that. I want someone on some side being like, you have to do this because the magic tells you to, right? And I'm all into, as Rhaenyra says, I think it was Rhaenyra who says, like, the dragons want war during, I think she actually uses those words during the opening that Queen's Council. She says something like that. If we let the dragons have their war or something like that. And I like that idea too, because as we've seen.
Yeah, she says something like that at the end too. She says like her dragons are getting restless.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. She says that about Sea Smoke to Missaria / White Worm.
Such a drama queen, that Sea Smoke.
/ bad accent. But there was, I had this idea. Hold on. Where is Sea Smoke? Where are my notes? Where are my notes? I had this idea when Rhaenyra was talking to Mysaria, and she's like, I want a place in your court. And I'm like, okay, this is her, you know, master of whispers, her spider, clearly. But then I kind of thought, wouldn't it be an interesting twist if Mysaria ends up being the next rider of Sea Smoke? Because that's when they're standing outside when Sea Smoke is doing all his their dramatic fuss, right?
He's like a teenager out there.
And then she says, Mysaria says, maybe he's lonely. And so I almost thought, well, is that like, does that open it up that, you know, maybe you're going to be his dragon rider? I don't know.
But is she Valyrian or in any way?
I don't know, but there, I remember there being one or two cases in the book where there were dragon riders that were not known to be Targaryen, but that rode the dragons, or Valyrian that rode the dragons.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
We pointed out last episode, the dragons they know what's up. They're intelligent. And maybe it's a different kind of intelligence, but just like when the dragon, was that the same dragon that was calling out one of the brothers' name?
Yes.
Okay. I think so. Yeah.
So, but we thought the same thing, that maybe that signaled that he was the illegitimate child of the sea snake. Yeah. So but somebody, they keep on showing that dragon.
I know that dragon, and it's, you know, it's kind of like, who's going to be, like, we always kind of theorize who are going to be the other dragon riders of Daenerys's two dragons, which was kind of answered in the series, but I had my own theory from a book standpoint. And, and I think that's kind of what's going to come into play here too, because I could see Sea Smoke kind of sensing that, oh, this woman is now, kind of pledged her loyalty to Rhaenyra and wants to be part of her council. And so it's like, oh, you know, maybe he's like, he's interviewing candidates to ride him. He does a flyby to, I think his name was Adam. And then he does a flyby to Mysaria. And, you know, maybe we'll see him do another flyby next week and someone will finally get to be his rider.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be important. And as you have in the beginning of our notes, the riders and their dragons, that, I mean, when you have a dance of dragons and a war with dragons, it's like this, a dragon is like an army, right? Mm-hmm. It's such a powerful weapon. So it really matters. And that's why I was saying too, like sending away so many of the eggs and the two little dragons, that was, that to me seemed like something we're going to have to really keep track of as time goes on. It's going to come into play.
I don't know that anything's going to happen with those dragons or eggs in time for it to make a difference.
But they could become like a bargaining chip is what I mean to say. Right? Like
that's true for sure. Yeah,
they're not going to, I wouldn't think they'd be old enough. And we know the three other eggs aren't going to hatch.
Right.
Until Danny gets all naked and walks into the fire with them.
But, and again, in speaking of dragons, Allison's fourth child, Daron, was mentioned again, as well as his dragon Tessarion. So, you know, I kind of, they're like, oh, he'll be fighting size soon, you know, like very soon. So I don't know, like I have not seen anyone cast for this role. It kind of seems like, are we really going to have to wait till next season to see him, or are they just keeping it like one of the best kept secrets and he's going to like swoop in the middle of a battle and like,
it's Timothy Chalamet.
And it'll be like, Rob Lowe.
Oh, Rob Lowe. There you go.
I know. Hilarious. And And you know, when we see this kid, I am expecting him to have more swagger than any Targaryen boy we've seen thus far. I'm waiting for this kid to rule the school. So it will be interesting to see what happens here.
We shall see. All right. Do you want to talk? Let's see. We talk about Daemon. Do you want to talk a little bit about what's going on in King's Landing with Aegon? And we see Larys gets to be the master of whisperers, but not what he wanted, which was the Hand. But he didn't make. I was surprised about this because even though it's a perfect role for him, right? Like it's perfect. He's better at that than he would be at Hand of the King. He's better at being in the shadows, right? I thought that he might be even say, well, I could be a better hand or something. He doesn't even try, which I thought was smart on his part, but he knows what he's up to.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. It's so interesting too, like the juxtaposition of these two councils. I was talking about this on my podcast. It's almost like you see a lot of retrospectives on Kennedy during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And the big change with Kennedy from Eisenhower was that Kennedy was a president who wasn't going to listen to his generals necessarily. He was going to make his own decisions. And he sort of listened more to his brother and his personal advisors than his council, if you will. So it's interesting because over on Team Black, you have Rhaenyra, who is not necessarily going to take the bit, and she's not going to listen to her generals. And I mean, you can argue if Kennedy had listened to his generals, we would, you know, we wouldn't be here. So I think that we have here with Aegon somebody who's just going to listen because he's used to like powerful old men just telling him what to do and being right and ruling the, you know, just the bros ruling everything. And so he's going to listen and he's going to do what they want. So the fact that Larys has to use this manipulation, which he's perfect at, to kind of get him to back down from doing something really stupid, I thought was really interesting. Just the two styles. And of course, it's not lost on anyone that Rhaenyra is a woman and making her own decisions and Aegon's following blindly.
Yeah, it's Aegon, I think, peaked as a king last week. I know, you know, he's like dressing up in his armor, gonna go off to war, listening to everyone.
He's put all his bros in charge around him.
That was amazing to me because that's the CW show we needed, right?
Yeah, right. Yes.
And like he's they're like, all hanging out.
What do you mean we're going to a brothel? You're not getting laid. You took a vow of chastity.
They're like, yeah. Dude, we have this virgin over here that we have to get laid.
Yeah, that whole thing was pretty funny. And the way that Larys manipulates him into not flying out.
It's brilliant.
Is classic. Mm-hmm. We've seen stuff like that before on Game of Thrones and this show too, right? Uh-huh. Like just kind of use their own vanity or their own
ego
against themselves, and it works perfectly. And then Larys walks away. Now, like we said, we have two whisperers each in their court. The courts are getting stronger. And then we get to see them go to the brothel. The same brothel. And I knew it when he walks in and he's like, I haven't been here in the longest time. I was like, you're about to see your brother again, my friend. But first, before that we get a nice blowjob scene for no reason whatsoever.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What was that? That was
That wasn't real. That was
definitely prosthetic. Definitely.
It was such a fake wiener. Yeah. I felt like they did it as a joke. Right? Like, it looked like a piece of wood. It literally looked like they carved a wiener. And that's what
was happening. It was pretty wild.
But then, of course, we see Bro, or all naked, Aemond. And He's with her, who we had her name last week, but now I don't have it.
I want to say it's like Sylvie or something like that.
I don't know her name and I feel terrible about it.
And I felt, you know what, Eamon, that was a real dick move, because so far I feel like this guy has the potential to, like, he does stand up to his brother. And we saw when he chased him down last season. You know, he's told him
that that move did not surprise me at all.
Yeah, I know. It was disappointing, though. It was disappointing. Yeah. And I want, will he go back? Probably never, you know. And this,
yeah,
you know, she was doing what he wanted.
Depends on what he really needs, I guess. He does have a betrothed. He can always just decide to marry if he wanted that.
Who's he betrothed to?
A Baratheon. That's why.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was what he was there doing when Luke showed up.
Well, I thought that scene, and then we get to see him full frontal too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was real, I think. Yeah. I think I read that was real.
Oh, that was a real wiener. Yeah, that was, there was no prosthetic involved in that.
Yeah, yep.
So two wieners in one show and within 5 minutes of each other.
You know.
It's all good. But I did think, though, they're building up this distrust between these two brothers. And I'm interested to see how far it stretches. Is it going to lead to violence between them, or perhaps Eamon just doing what the fuck he wants and not listening to Aegon, you know? What is, because that was like a fucked up thing to do. But then he did stand proud and walk out. So,
yeah, I think that's highly likely. And I think we've, you know, he's always, Aegon's always tormented Aemon to an extent. And, you know, while Aemon took a lot of that blame out on Rhaenyra's boys, his brother was the ringleader for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, it's the second time we hear Aegon refer to his brother as a hound. In this, did you take her like a hound? Something like that. And, you know, he said he was loyal as a hound last episode. And, you know, I said, oh, does that mean, you know, kind of like interesting comparison to the Hound, who was a character in GOT who also had, you know, a disfigurement.
And who died with his brother by trying to kill his brother.
Yes. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, lest we all forget the battle that everyone wanted.
Clegane Bowl.
The Clegane Bowl,
Clegane Bowl.
Which I always thought was kind of sad, because I thought the Hound should have really just walked away. That would have been the real way to win that battle.
Yeah.
Not fucking fight your half undead brother.
And they both fell into fire too, which is, I think it's very, very likely. And then it's really interesting because, and it's kind of jumping ahead, but one thing that Alicent says to, she's said a couple things about Eamon this season. One is that he's angry, which, ironically, he said the same thing about his mother. She's angry. But then she says to Rhaenyra, and then there's Eamon, and we both know what he is.
Yeah, I didn't know what that was. What did she mean by that?
So, do you remember how Cersei was always kind of like, I know Joffrey's a monster, but I love him all the same. I think Alicent knows there's something inherently wrong with Eamon.
He's a killer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a killer. I think, I don't know if she knew it before he took out Luke on his dragon, or if that just kind of cemented her worst fears in stone, even though that did seem to be a bit of an accident.
Oh, definitely. You know, the dragon
we saw.
But
she doesn't trust that. And, you know, she's cold to her kids. She's never been able to kind of love
that. It's weird because I feel like she's afraid of her boys. So she's afraid of Aegon and Aemond.
Yeah.
But I also feel in a weird way now she's afraid of Helena because Helena has all this information on her. And I don't think she thought Helena understood what happened, but now we have confirmation that she did.
Oh, that's, see, you know what? I'm such a moron that it took me like 3 days to understand that when she said, "I forgive you," she meant for fucking Kristen Cole.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I didn't
because he should have been guarding her and the children.
Yeah. Yep.
But if you look at how Rhaenyra feels about her kids, like there's no fear there, but Alicent is very afraid of her children.
Well,
it's
because
weird.
I don't find that weird because they are Targaryens and she is not, right? And Targaryens are not human, right? Like they are they have dragon blood. They're magical creatures. And in
that's true. Rhaenyra probably understands them in a different way.
Yeah. And maybe. It's also the weight of the crown, right? Like Rhaenyra grew up with it. Mm-hmm. Alicent was thrust into this through her father as a child to have sex with this aging king. So I think that these kids, though they're hers, they're still Targaryens. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gina.
But she was such close friends with Rhaenyra at one point. I don't think that it's being a Targaryen that she's afraid of. I actually think it could have more to do with the fact, and we don't know how young Alicent was when her mother died, but it could be that she just never like really had a mother.
True.
So she didn't really learn how to mother. Yep.
No one held her.
True.
Her dad, you know, she's like a Russian baby. Pawn. They don't hold them, you know?
Yeah.
We're just, that was not, I'm sorry, Russian babies. That's
sad. They just put them out in the snow.
That's probably just a rumor. That was not good. Yeah. But it's like that though, right? She doesn't have those, as they say, tools at her disposal.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Yeah.
She was never taught. Bringing in a little couples therapy here. She was never taught at a young age.
I love that.
I do too.
She doesn't know how to love. She doesn't even know that she's not doing it. That's the right. Like, I don't know that.
Yeah.
She probably thinks I'm a good mother and I love my kids and I'm protected. Similar to, I don't know, Cersei, who, right? Mm-hmm. Or this is controversial. Danny, I love my dragons. They're like my children. Let's go to war. Like,
all three of those characters lost their mother at a young age. Mm-hmm. Although it's not necessarily the standard because we know that Catelyn Stark also lost her mother, although maybe she was a little bit older than her nutty sister, lost her mother and seemed to be able to mother.
True, though she did.
Well, she may have had somebody in her life that filled that gap, even if it wasn't a stepmother.
Yeah.
I was going to say, though, she wasn't too nice to Jon Snow.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She blamed him for
the husband. Was she hot for him? Or was she not?
She could have been.
Just didn't know how to process that.
She could have been Jon Snow. He's like a 90s grunge icon, you know? He's like the Kurt Cobain or Eddie Vedder of Westeros.
Yeah, he's more of an Eddie Vedder.
He's more of an Eddie Vedder. That's true. Yep. That is definitely true. Aemond is more of like a Kurt Cobain, probably. Let's see. What do we got next? Oh, well. First of all, I have to point out that Gina actually put in the notes, he's a grower, not a shower. So.
And I also said, definitely.================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================````==================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================````================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================�================�================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================
Shrinkage. I will not comment on that. Next, Kristen Cole. The internet has gone insane. I'm not even on the internet that much. I look at Lego pictures on Facebook and talk about TV. Mm-hmm. But I have seen some of this shit out there. And man, this guy, he's even getting it like in real life.
I know. It's so crazy. You know,
people like, he's a bad actor, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, he's not. He's a great actor.
He's a good actor. Yeah.
He's doing this character perfect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you can't. I think that, and to me, I get the hate. I get it. You know, he's just basically like the ex-boyfriend that wants to burn the world because she broke up with him.
Yeah. I know. Still.
Yeah, I get it. I've been there. Okay.
you carry a grudge 10 years later. Yeah, but
you never know. You never know. That's another episode of couples therapy. He does play it perfect. He's such a douche nozzle. And it is just beyond. So I don't know. What do you want to say about his scenes? Because he had some the with Allison asking for the kerchief.
And just when you thought we had him to deal with as a big enough douche, then we meet Sir Gawain.
Yes.
Who's like, is he Eric Stoltz? He looks just like him.
Okay.
He does.
This actor was in, I'm forgetting, the Apple TV Slough House.
I didn't see that.
What am I forgetting?
Oh, Slow Horses.
Slow Horses.
I didn't see that.
Okay, yeah. I haven't seen it.
In Slow Horses, he is the same character, kind of a bit, but he is just like an annoying, gnat-like, untrustworthy scoundrel. And I think you're getting a bit of that here too. Now, I heard, and I don't know if it's true, but he was actually, I don't remember who said it. The character appeared in the first season, but as a little kid too. So that's kind of, I like that we get to see someone grow up again. But he's awesome. He's a great actor, but he just wants to stay in the inn. He doesn't want to camp. He's not into camping.
I don't know. Gina, what do you think is the end game here between having Sir Cole kind of win Sir Gawain's favor by saving him?
You know, it's very questionable, because at first I was like, oh, he knows he's screwing his sister. He's kind of going to keep an eye on him. And then, you know, he's grateful for the save of the dragons. Like the
heads up.
The poor kid looked like he crapped his pants. I know. Quite honestly.
Wouldn't you?
But maybe. But I think it could be a really interesting pairing. And that's something that at least in the, you know, kind of in the books and Game of Thrones, that Martin's really good at putting kind of interesting people together, but I don't know that this was like a book thing. I wonder if it's going to kind of be just like, it's not going to be as good as Jaime and Sir Bronn, but maybe it's going to be more like, Lady Brienne and Podrick.
Oh, I like that.
I mean, they might find, but you know, maybe they'll just butt heads. You know, maybe there's like this kind of grateful thing, but now does Cole become kind of the annoying older brother that's always telling Gawain what to do, and Gawain grows resentful, and you know, I could see it still kind of going in that direction. I don't know. We'll see. Or does, you know, is Gawain going to die out there anyway, and Cole gets back and Allison can never forgive him again, type of thing. I don't know. I guess there's a lot that could potentially happen.
It's just so weird, because I feel like if next episode is Dance of the Dragons, and I'm just going to go out on a limb and say I'm assuming a lot of people die, why now? Like, why bring in Sir Gawain now? Like, I just don't understand. Maybe it will be Fuckboy Hand dies, and then I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's why I kind of thought that Larys talked Aegon into not going out with his dragon, even though Cole didn't want him to go. Cole didn't want Aemon to go out with his dragon.
Right.
He wanted to stay in the protect. But I'm kind of thinking, does Sir Larys want Cole to die out there so he can then move in on Allison? And I think he's still going to try to move in on Allison even more with Cole there not in the castle.
Yeah, he's got to.
I'm going to give that a big old yuck.
And I
yeah.
Clubfoot and all. I think that I like Gawain. I like the actor. And mm-hmm. I think that a reason may be that he has intentions, right? Because he's in an interesting position being Allison's brother, and then he's to team up with Cole. He can maybe kind of run some interference or use that to his advantage, his position with both of mm-hmm. them. So I think an answer to why add people is because we're going to, if people die, we need to replace them. Right? Like
right.
you need other right. stories that yeah. have developed.
Blaine could be a spy for Otto too.
Interesting. Yeah.
Oh yes. yeah.
We didn't see yeah. Otto this episode.
Mm-mm.
And I love
good.
Yeah. good.
Yeah.
I liked when Bela was up there. And also that dragon looks pretty big, bigger than they mm-hmm. said. But it was I like that scene, how they're running for the tree line. That's in so mm-hmm. many like medieval fantasy stories, right? Run mm-hmm. to the tree line, like we're out in the open.
Yeah.
And then that totally reminded me of Jamie when he looked up and saw the dragon like that. That reminded me of the when Danny burned the what was that called again?
The loot train?
The loot train. Thank you, Gina.
Yeah.
That I still to this day I think is one of the
I loved that. I thought of that earlier, Axel, when you're like, these dragons are weapons. And I'm like, yeah. And we all saw that the first time that like yeah. Danny unleashed on that loot train is what was yep. going through yeah. my mind. It was so just like wiped, you know, it was like a wipeout.
And it's fair to remember with all the dragons, it took them a while on Game of Thrones to, I guess, remember or find the plans for the big, you know, Gina's going to know what it's called.
The scorpion.
But mm-hmm. one of these days, they're going to trick us again, and we're going to see some dragon flying around there, and then all of a sudden, we're going to see whoosh, thwack. You know what I'm just waiting for uh-huh. it mm-hmm. because we can't yeah. forget that they know a little bit more how to fight dragons back then than they did yeah. in the Game of Thrones.
They were more a part of their world, yeah. so they had figured out, yeah.
It's something to remember. All right, we are having a great chat. You want to get to the old sneaking into King's Landing and chatting with your old high school chum? Hey, we connected on Facebook. Let's talk about our dead
yeah,
relatives.
Yeah, and just walking around with your face right out there, yeah. not looking down at all.
But as a septa, like, who's yeah. really going to know? I know. Having the hair hidden is what's most important.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cute in that little getup. I was just like, or they did look cute.
Yeah.
I think it would be, to me, it would have been a little bit more believable if Emma Darcy's face wasn't so stunning that it makes you see it even more so with that outfit.
Mm-hmm.
But then yeah. again, they don't have photos of right? Like there's a lot of people mm-hmm. who the only time they've ever seen her has been in a crowd of think about it in that way, and they were probably replaced a lot of the guards or whatever, so I think it wasn't so bad to me, but mm-hmm. I thought that this whole scene was great. It was tense. It was actually, some of it was funny in the beginning, you know, she's like, then what are you going to do? Like after you kill,
me. I'm here to murder you. Yeah. Oh wait, no, I'm not. I'm sorry. Okay. I started badly.
Yeah. So this was a good, what did you both think of this scene?
Go ahead, Gina, you go.
Well, I liked it also because it was a throwback to a time when they had been in the Sept previously together as girls after Rhaenyra's mother died. And it's kind of, it's a throwback to when they were in a much better place and much closer, hopefully no one's going to kill anyone in a house of worship. but I thought it was great. And I thought it was really interesting that, Rhaenyra just did not believe that her dad had said what he had said. You know, she's like, I know my father loved me. And then she's like, well, maybe he did say it. So what did my father say? Mm. And I love the whole reveal of it, where Alicent was very genuine in what she thought she heard and how she interpreted it. And then Rhaenyra goes on to say, it's a story, you know, it's this story he told me, and he was telling me about that earlier that night. It's about Aegon the Conqueror. And you just kind of see Alicent. She took a few blows, like first her daughter realizing that she was the cause of her son's death and forgiving her for it. Second, oh, Alicent's misinterpretation of a feeble man on his deathbed and what he said leading to all this chaos and potentially war. It's a lot to handle. And she's still like, I'm sorry, but it's already too late. You know, she wasn't even going to try, which I thought was, I think she just feels she's lost all power and control in her household and over the council. And so that she can't try. Like, they'd probably execute her if she tried at this point.
That's the thing. She can't go marching in there and just being like, right, I've made a huge mistake, like Job right. style. Like, she has to be, she can't say anything. She has no power. She's afraid of everyone, and she should be. Yeah. There. So you're right. She would have no voice.
Yeah. And her own son was even like, you know, she has love for our enemy. Yep. And so he would be like, mother, have I showed you the latest wart on my dragon?
Yeah.
And burn her up, you know?
Yeah. But it's interesting that she didn't express that vulnerability to Rhaenyra. Like, she wasn't like, you don't understand what's going on back at home.
Great
dude. Like,
point.
You have no idea how bad it is back there. Yeah. Like, she doesn't even say that. She just doubles down. And that was weird to me, but understandable. But, you know, I wish she had taken a different approach.
It was sad. The whole thing was sad.
Yeah.
Because she realizes, Alicent realizes, and it's obvious in the text when she repeats Aegon the Conqueror. And you see the look on her face, she realizes she fucked up. But in the same instant, the realization comes, it doesn't fucking matter anyway, because I couldn't have done anything. My father had already planned to take the throne. The whole small council planned to take the throne. Even if she had said, even if the next morning after he died, she hadn't said anything to Otto would have said, your son's the king. It's
and
done
it's,
already.
It's an interesting bookend to that opening scene of the spoils of war. You know, what will come of this? Almost this doesn't matter. What is going to matter is what we're going to see at the end of the Dance of Dragons. Yep. And that's it.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't matter how we get there. We're there.
I agree. I think that this was all character, and this was in a way coming back around to how we began with them as children, and perhaps the final scene that we'll see them together in any way, perhaps. And I just felt it was sad because you could see Alicent had no power. Rhaenyra does, right? Like, if she went back and she already is keeping them in check. So if she asserts her power, and she's a warrior, Alicent is not a warrior, you know? Go ahead.
I have a question for you both. So do you think there's part of Alicent, this is probably an obvious answer, but do you think there's part of Alicent that knew that he wasn't talking about her Aegon, but she needed to believe in this because she knew this was going to happen anyway, and she had to find a way to get on board?
It's a great point.
Maybe
subconscious or otherwise. Yes.
Right.
I think.
Cause like when you're making an argument, you don't start the sentence with, well, it was hazy and hard to understand at times. Like, that doesn't sound like you're super sure of what was said.
Yes. Right.
If she needed to believe it because she knew this was going to happen, and I either need to get on board or I'm going to be out.
Well, it also legitimizes her fear.
Mm-hmm.
Her or, and everything she's experienced up to that point and the way that everyone around them had put them at odds. So it also it legitimizes her anger from having a husband who refused to name his male heirs as king, right? Mm-hmm. And continued to say that his daughter from his ex-dead wife was going to be the queen. You know what I'm saying? Talk about, right? So there is, I can see Alicent's point of view there, and it was sad, but in the sense that too, just look at what it was. It was Alicent running away to her chapel to pray to her, the seven, and Rhaenyra's fucking sneaking in Navy SEAL style, right? Like, so it just shows you the power imbalance there to begin with, that Rhaenyra has power and Alicent does not. So there's nothing that could have been said. If Alicent had turned to her and said, I agree with you, I'm going to go back and tell them all this, it wouldn't have, they would have, exactly like we talked about, they wouldn't have done anything, or they would have thrown her off the fucking roof.
Yeah.
Maybe it's all like an allegory for, hey, believe women.
You know?
Well, it's about their friendship, and I liked it.
It is about their friendship and how women need to have each other's backs, even in times where it's tough, like your bestie marries your daddy, and you get mad at your best friend for potentially, you know, losing her virginity when she wanted.
Exactly.
Right. And your one kid eats your other kid. Your one kid's dragon eats your other kid. You know, like it's.
No, I mean, and then it just, it goes downhill from there. You know, this kind of got me thinking too that all the wars I think that we've seen in Westeros have started because of some type of miscommunication or lie.
Yeah.
Like we know that's the case here so far. We know it's the case in the Robert's Rebellion, and we know it's what happened, you know, in Game of Thrones with the battles of the Seven Kingdoms because of, frankly, Littlefinger. So, I, you know, and I think that's a very George R. R. Martin, you know, message, because I know he's very anti-war and a pacifist. So I think there's something to be kind of taken away there, and
war benefits no one in the end, right?
Yeah,
you just people die. But one thing I will say is that if this scene has any repercussions going forward, besides being a great close to character beats that we've saw in the story, is that I think it gives Rhaenyra permission to burn this motherfucker to the ground.
She tried. This was like the last ditch effort.
Is it. She's not going back saying, hey, let's not fight. She's going back and saying, bam, burn this, let's do this, we're at war. Like, you're definitely, even though, and that was the interesting thing about not showing the battle in the beginning, the war has already started, but it's almost not important until the dragons get involved, right? Like, even this show looks at the little folk like they're not even worth showing them dying. We're just going to show you when the big folks get to war. But that is, in a sense, metaphoric for this world in which the little folk really always get shit on.
But there will be a moment, like there will be a moment when Alicent has to decide between her family and Rhaenyra. There will be a moment, I think. I just don't know what that looks like. Like, could it be in, like, I feel like it's going to be in conflict in the war. It might be a split second. But there is going to be, like, this meeting is like a Chekhov's gun situation. Like, it happened for a reason. And I think that we're going to see this play out in some way in the middle of battle, during the battle, to end the battle. I'm not sure.
We shall see. We shall see.
Gina's over there like, not if everybody's dead.
I know how something goes down. And now thinking about the dynamics between Alicent and some of her family members, her children, I'm like, oh. And
we all know,
but some people who haven't read the books.
I just mean, we all know this isn't going to end well for pretty much anybody. So this, you know what I mean? And like, I was talking to Jenny the other day and she was like, well, we know they're all dead because we watch Game of Thrones.
They all die.
They all eventually die. Everybody dies.
Honestly, we know, we've always known about one of these deaths because it was a spoiler in when Joffrey and what's her name were taking a tour of the sept. And then blah blah blah, and he's like laughing, which is kind of ironic because if anyone's most like Joffrey, it's the person he was talking about.
We shall see.
You know, I've always, or at least last season, I think I mentioned this once, and it's not to make everything gay, but I actually thought that there should have been at least a scene or two with a more romantic attachment between Alicent and Rhaenyra as young ladies. Even if it was them like having a sleepover and like a little kiss or something like that before Alicent had to marry the king, because I do feel that there's always been kind of a strangely unrequited love between them, and you know, and that they were both deeply hurt and alone after Alicent had to marry the king. But I feel like they didn't spend enough time in the friendship to really show how damaging it was. Like, there needed to be a couple more, you know, intimate scenes of some type, if not physical, then very much like proclamation, like, I don't know what I would do if you weren't here and my friend with me or something like that. But anyway.
Yeah, because at the time, I think they did communicate kind of that they had their own world in a sense. You know what I mean?
A little bit.
So, but I could see that as well. And I think it's just at an age they showed too, where the difference between like sexual feelings or like a desire to be that person and to have that person can be so linked that you're not sure what it is. And I think you're right. They could have went that, but I think they've done a pretty good job of, and with this last scene here too, of kind of showing how important, and they constantly talk about each other too, right? Like,
they've
always got each other on the mind. So
talking about people that can't get over each other, you know,
They need to go to couples therapy.
Get Orna in here.
Orna's like, so go. No, talk more about the dragons. What are, when you say dragon, you actually have a dragon? And she's like, yes, Orna, I'm a Targaryen. I have dragon blood.
Then Orna's like, Alicent, what are you hearing? Where are you when she's talking about the dragon?
Where are you?
Where are you right now?
I want to bring you into this.
How come you don't want to ride the dragon with Rhaenyra? That was one thing, Alicent. Like, because remember, she's like, oh, the dragon will be big enough to seat two soon. And she's like, no, thanks, girlfriend.
No.
Oh, God. Well, let me tell you something. Mao could definitely be a Game of Thrones character because that dude was sociopathic.
100%. Yep. Yeah,
he was a sociopath. Yep. He could be riding on a dragon with Aemond. All right. Well, this was so much fun. Amy, is there anything else you wanted to chat about?
No, I mean, this was great. Thank you both so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I had a lot of fun. And I hope to be brought back. Oh. Maybe I'll be a returning character in some episode later.
I like it. That's why we brought you in. Gina, anything else that you want to chat about?
You know, the only thing I'm wondering, I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on it, is the man in the tavern said,
yeah.
He's Ulf. He's the son of the bastard brother to Daemon and Viserys.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just wonder, like, are we going to... Okay, ooh, another potential dragon rider, if that's actually true. I do think there was this bastard brother and he had offspring, but... you know, if he really does have Targaryen blood, wouldn't that be a trip if this, you know, dude, the Sea Smoke found this dude and is like, hop on, brother.
God, you know what? I feel like, are we going to get like an episode of like, remember when like Puff Daddy sent them to go get the sandwiches in Brooklyn? Are they going to have like you know, remember that? Are they going to have like a contest between all these potential dragon? That's what it's making me think. Like in the same way they went around, Joffrey went around killing all of his potential half brothers and sisters.
Right.
Are they going to gather up all the potential bastards and everyone and say, we need more dragon rider, like, come, you know, I don't know.
I don't think so. I think the Targaryens are a little more organic than that.
But you know, we seem to have a clutch of them now. We have like at least three that we're thinking are potentials.
Well, for dragon riders, but I think it has to be the dragon that
the dragon chooses. Them,
you know, I think the dragon is going to choose. Particularly since I don't know any of those people are like, I mean, maybe Missaria rode a dragon with Daemon at some point. So she might be like in the pole position to actually hop on one and not be afraid of them. But I think those other two, you know, would be like, you know, the one Ulf just basically crapped his pants the minute Aegon walked in when he had been bad-mouthing him and
right. to,
you know, clearly sides with Rhaenyra. So
that was smart writing too, to have that scene and then they walk into it and then it's taken over by what happens between the brothers, which makes you kind of forget that we were introduced to this location with this whole weird story about being the half bastard of the right. Like I thought that was interesting, but as we know in the books, there's always these crazy, like coming out of nowhere, I'm related to this person or right. And like, isn't there like fake people? And there's, I remember Fagon is a character from the books, right? Gina,
Where
people call him that.
The names. Yes. Fagon. Yes. Oh my gosh. I totally forgot about it. It's been a long time since I've read the book. I feel like there's not going to be.
Come on, Gina. Instant recall. Let's go.
Let's go get it.
I mean, it's also a storyline that was completely dropped from the show. So it's just like,
All right. Amy, please tell us again where we can find you.
I'm at Little Miss Recap, where I'm talking a lot of trash and, covering this very lightly. Like I said, don't expect, you know, anything factual. And covering stuff like MILF Manor, Sister Wives, Forbidden Love, Seeking Sister Wife, all that good stuff. And Axel, you and I did McBee Dynasty. That's on the feed for everyone to listen to. And that was a lot of fun.
Definitely. Awesome. Yes. Mm-hmm. Check out. You are amazing. All your co-hosts. Great Thank shows. You. A lot of fun. Laugh the entire time I listen. And
thank you.
Gina and I will be back next week. We don't know who. We're going to have to figure it out, Gina.
Sea Smoke.
We are. he's gonna give us an exclusive on who his dragon rider is going to be. Like,
or maybe Orna's available. Maybe she wants to come on to the show.
Maybe.
That would be a lot of fun.
Well, can we afford her at $700 an hour? Yes, I don't know.
I know. That's pretty expensive.
I'd pay it.
Pretty expensive, but worth it. Definitely worth it. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you to all the patrons. You all are the best. We're continuing to cover Mayor of Kingstown. We just dropped the last podcast episode of Gina and Jenny covering Bridgerton. You can listen to that on Daily DVR as well, dvrpodcast.com. Thank you so much. Peace out, everybody.